COVID-19 update. Radio 1400.am and 1400WSTC.net now brings you a live update from the mayor of Bridgeport, Joe Ganim.
I want to thank everyone for tuning in again. We've been doing this now for about a week. There are updates. It's Facebook Live at Joe Ganim. We're trying to keep people informed. Sometimes we have important, we always have, I believe, important information. Sometimes we have important new information. And at times we'll reiterate some of the stuff that we've talked about on prior podcasts or remote town halls through this process. So thanks so much. Those that might, just to back up a little bit, know that I was on WICC this morning. WICC and other media outlets have been phenomenal in broadcasting, trying to keep us current on the news. I think we have an obligation as elected officials in the position of mayor, those in the position as governors, the president himself, and other elected officials, not only have an obligation to understand the magnitude or potential magnitude of what we're going through with this coronavirus. We call it, in a kind of funny way, uncharted territories for all of us, going back to, I don't know what they're talking about, whether it's the early 1900s or late 1800s when they talked about the last kind of pandemic that impacted the world, or at least our part of the world, and how people responded and what precautions we need to take now as we go through what's still the early stages of this in our country right now. Globally, take a 30-second step back. You know, we saw this from a distance in China, and I think a lot of us kind of did, oh, that's in China, it's another part of the world. As we saw it race across, and we saw and continue to see the devastation in places like Italy and other parts of Europe like Spain. I saw a newscast this morning, not to scare people, but another way to let people know. There were people laying in the floors in hospitals in Spain, and I'm sure that's in Italy too. And the projections on those things have caught hold. I think they've broken into a level of soberness for partisanship. And I think we've seen, at least this morning, the announcements of the first steps of major coming together by both extremes with different points of view over what is a common challenge. Looking at this challenge as an opportunity, the federal government, I think, today is announcing, or will be announcing, what they go through in their process. And it looks like, finally, we'll have, some call it a stimulus package, some call it a relief package. But by and large, it is a way to try and stabilize, infuse money, real dollars, aid to needs of individuals, to the needs of governments on a state and local level, and to healthcare and hospitals, small business loans. So what we've heard talked about, and I'll be connecting with our legislative delegation on a federal level later today. That's our U.S. senators who are down there fighting now, our Congressman Himes, who has been fighting now. We've been in touch with their offices on a constant basis. Mayors from across Connecticut, mayors and local leaders from across the country have been lobbying by phone and by letter through the U.S. Conference of Mayors to make sure that we're not excluded, we're not left out, that Bridgeport's not left out. And I believe, although we haven't seen the final language, that there's a $2 billion package. That's $2 trillion. I don't know if I said billion, but I meant trillion with a T. Trillion dollars that is expected to be passed by Congress. I don't usually say expected to be passed because I'm usually skeptical of the ability of the federal government to come together. But I've been assured that it looks like later today we'll be seeing announcements and the president signing, hopefully even as early as later today, a package that includes money, direct money, some aid to most adults. They're talking about $1,200 to most adults. $367 billion for small business loans, and I'm hoping those are zero interest loans with a forgiveness provision so that you, if you're in a business, and some of it's going to say if you keep employees on, if you're able to keep employees on in some means or measure, that the federal government is going to be there to be a partner with local state government and with small businesses so that we can bridge the gap, get through the peak on this health crisis, and minimize the impact of a long-term economic downturn, which we all want to avoid, and I think we're able to, especially if this package goes through. Not to focus on Wall Street, but a lot of individuals have retirement funds. They look at their kind of nest egg, if you will, some in their homes, which seem to be stable, but also in their retirement plans that they've saved up for. Wall Street's taken a devastating hit. but had the largest step forward, an increase of some 2,000 points. I don't know if that's the largest in history. So that's good news. So the financial front, coupled with support for the healthcare providers and tackling this health crisis, this pandemic, is good news is on the way. It's kind of unusual to say about the federal government sometimes, but we appreciate the efforts of all of them and the leadership that's been provided for our country as it impacts our state and our city. So thank you, and thank the residents, those that are listening, and those that you talk to for understanding that they're stepping up and we're stepping up together. On a local level, we are evaluating. So that's the big picture what the federal government's doing. And you got to understand, at least as I've kind of dissected this in with others, experts in our analysis, the different places, there's different approaches that I think probably are going to be seen for different areas, geographies, age groups, people in different health categories, different types of businesses. So already you learned essential and non-essential on city employees with police, fire, 911. You've heard non-essential and essential for businesses in Connecticut and in New York and other states as to what are defined and how. And there's some agreement or disagreement on what those should be. Well, there's different approaches that need to be taken. Different approaches that need to be taken by different areas, by different communities that have different aspects. For instance, Bridgeport, where are we located in the United States and in the Northeast, 50 miles from New York City in Fairfield County, the largest and most densely populated city in Connecticut. And we're evaluating the unique aspects or those that are different from maybe some small community in some other Midwestern or Western state, and looking at what we might need to do in order to address our residents, our community, our businesses, to remain as safe as we can, especially over these next couple weeks, which we're told will be critical. I'll get into our proximity to New York and New York being called the, in many ways, the canary in the coal mine, interesting description, but nonetheless, what other cities and towns are doing to meet their individual needs. And if you give me a minute, as much as I will talk to you today, and hopefully you'll listen to me for information, I listen to others. I listened to the president last night. I listened to his national advisors. I listened to our governor. I talked to our governor. I listened to New York's governor and New York's mayors because of their proximity and the impact that what happens in New York has a direct impact, as you know, on what will happen in Connecticut and especially in Fairfield County. We've seen, as recently reported this morning, 79 cases in Westport, Connecticut, two towns over, closer proximity than us to New York City, between Bridgeport and Stamford and Norwalk, major population centers. What other cities and states are doing around the country are taking different measures. And I will tell you, I'd be remiss in my duty and obligation as your mayor to not look at what other communities are doing, evaluate that, along with what's going on nationally, along with the governor's doing across Connecticut, and seeing what fits best for us to remain as safe as we can. There's a couple up on the screen. It talks about what Vermont's doing with stay-at-home orders from the governor of Vermont. Charleston, City Council approved stay-at-home ordinance with broad exceptions for businesses, and there's others. I don't know if we have them up on the screen. They talk about what other cities are doing and other states are doing to meet the special needs. Well, we're one of those. If you look at the numbers in this area, and I'm looking at New York first, number of active coronavirus cases in New York State is 26,000. The number of active deaths, or I should say related deaths, is close to 300, 271. The cases in New York City is over 15,000 with almost 200 deaths. Now, granted, that's probably the largest concentration of people anywhere in the country. I mean, you look at Los Angeles and Chicago, of course, as major metropolitan centers. But New York has been most heavily hit. We called it the epicenter, the canary in the coal mine. But regardless of that, it has impacted Connecticut predominantly in our part of the state, Fairfield County. And we're the most densely populated, and we'll talk about how that affects us in a minute. But in Connecticut, we've had just over 600 cases. But look at this number. With over 600 cases in New York, almost 400 of them, two-thirds, are in Fairfield County. Now, in Bridgeport, I think our numbers are low, and that is good, and I talked about that being good. But today we reported our first death. And I also think that we're underreported at this point because of the amount of tests that we've seen as conclusive. So seeing that and knowing, just to give you a little understanding what they're talking about, as far as this kind of when you can't see a threat, sometimes they use the term, I heard our governor use it, I heard the governor of New York use it, the canary in the coal mine, and you think, gee, what is that? It's a colorful thing in a dark situation. Is that good? Well, it's good in that miners, literally, up until 1984, would carry canaries into the mine tunnels with them. Because if dangerous gas like carbon monoxide was collected in the mine, you can't, it has no taste and it has no smell, and this gas would kill you. It was lethal. It would be the canary that would note it first and it would fly out of the mine, thus providing a warning to exit the tunnel immediately. We say that New York, respectfully, is our canary in the coal mine of this silent, invisible danger. So we need to look at that and contrast that with the geography of Connecticut, where some counties, Windham counties, have no hospitalized cases and maybe one reported case. And so as the governor and state offices look at the entire state, as they should, we have to give special attention to Fairfield County and to our large cities. And so in some ways, that's my role, coupled with and in parallel with what the state of Connecticut and the governor is doing. But our closure measures, although we've been ahead of other cities and towns with more extreme measures to date, have been challenging to all of us. So we've got parks around the city, and this is a picture of, you'll see, I took this morning, or last night, I think this was this morning, of St. Mary's, where there's been a lot of chatter about closing it and keeping people from going to parks, but that's not the goal. The goal isn't to stop people from going to parks. It's to ensure that when people go out in open space and they walk and they jog, as I saw them this morning, as they should be, as they interact, that we respect the new norm, and I'll repeat that, the new norm of social distancing, that we keep 6 feet away. Look, you see most press conferences, the governor's press conference, the governor of New York, they're 6 feet away. It's awkward, but you sit at tables like this and you'll have your health director over here and you'll have your public safety director or other experts over here. It's the new norm. These are the signs that we've put up at St. Mary's by the Sea. Our obligation, not just for me as mayor, as your mayor, but for each of us to protect each other. And if you want to make it personal, to protect your loved ones, your parents, your relatives, your friends, our relatives, friends, and elders through this period of time. I think we'd be remiss. I think we'd be short-sighted if we took this kind of low numbers in Bridgeport right now in a densely populated community, the most densely, with proximity to New York, and look at the high numbers in Fairfield County in general and what's happening in New York without understanding that we need to kind of be diligent, which we will, and maybe take even more extreme action. So I don't intend to announce that action today, but I will tell you that over the next couple days, in conjunction with conversations with the state of Connecticut, and frustration that people have over the limitations, over our liberties and our free movement, that we may take more extreme actions in the city of Bridgeport to ensure people are safe at home. I'm not sure exactly how we will put that in place, but over the next couple days, we will talk about it. We'll get input from health advisors. We'll watch the numbers come out of New York. Watch the precautions that other cities have taken and may give a stronger, safe at home order in the city of Bridgeport in days to come. So we'll continue to adjust as we need to. On actions that have been taken so far, there is a city and community partnership plan to support homelessness. The homelessness challenge didn't arise with the pandemic. It's been here. We've been challenged, but blessed in a certain way. We're challenged by supporting others and their plight with homelessness, temporary, some more than temporary. But we've also been blessed, if you will, with partnerships and support from nonprofits and committed, active elected officials in the city of Bridgeport. The South End Community Center opened last night. They provided safe haven for some 30 individuals already. Intake workers and volunteers took people and took body temperature of each individual to ensure there were no fevers to avoid public safety. concerns. I'm sorry, public health safety. So the idea is if you have a fever, that's a symptom that would cause you or us or whoever to be separated at least from the 6 feet as a symptom of what might be the ability to spread unintentionally the coronavirus. In addition to that, City Community Partnership Plan has Bassac High School as Plan B for a vulnerable population. They can provide up to 120 beds. And this is a collaboration with our faith community to provide temporary shelter service, again, for a vulnerable population in the city. We have an obligation. If we have a home, if we have the benefits, sometimes we take for granted, to work in partnership. So I thank all those that have stepped up on this, especially in the last couple days. There have been intense phone conference calls. There have been intense commitments by individuals above and beyond in order to meet the need on some of our most vulnerable citizens. So I thank and I compliment them. I think sometimes a community, a neighborhood, a city is judged by how well addresses the needs and the concerns of our most vulnerable and those of our greatest needs. And I think in some ways, still falling short, I think in ways where we can do better, and we will, we're meeting those needs in a better way, and I want to thank so many for being a part of that. Feeding many at the Merton House, homeless leads daily, 300 people a day. The Merton Center has been hit hard by this outbreak. Their stocks of foods, non-perishable foods, are dwindling, and financial contributions have significantly dropped off, and they need our assistance. So part of today's call is here's how we can help. Items that can be donated, cleaning supplies, disinfectant sprays, toothpaste, sanitation wipes, toiletries, deodorants, towels, gloves, protective gear, and other related items can be donated to the Merton House. And I want to thank the Merton House, as I do Rowena, to keep the slides moving. Our education system, again, has done a great job. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But it's the third day. Grab and go, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Get it? Now there's three meals. So our Board of Ed has gone above and beyond. We did it with homelessness. Now the Board of Education is doing above and beyond. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner beginning Thursday, March 26th. That's this Thursday. If my days are serving me right, that's tomorrow. They're getting a little blurred. Bridgeportedu.net. So there'll be three meals there. We appreciate it. This is the notice they sent out. I like to include it because I think they're doing a great job with it. It's good morning. This is welcome to day two. But today says welcome to day three of distance learning. So they're on top of the game. It's an important. Now, the dates that have been given out are April 20th. Yesterday, the state announced, the governor announced, after our town hall at noon, I think about 4 o'clock, they announced that they're donating some 60,000 devices for high school seniors. These will help to supplement distance learning for Bridgeport students. We hope to get 5,000 and hope to have that type of announcement in conjunction with the governor very soon. I want to take a minute. There's Frida and Pamela and Angela and Jeff. That's Bridgeport Fire Department, by the way, first responders. You can give them a round of applause, our first responders from your home, as we deal our health care providers who are not just doing the testing but taking care of people that need hospitalization. Again, reiterate, although we're not carrying these slides today, Southwest and Optimus are your places where you can go. Those are your doctors if you don't have one. If you think you have symptoms, if you think you want to get medical attention, if you think you want to get tested and you don't have a primary care doctor, those are the places you can go in the city of Bridgeport. So we're up to speed on what we think the federal government's going to do today. That's good news. We're up to speed on where I think we fit in geographically and things we may have to do as a densely populated city. I heard the governor of New York earlier today talk about why New York is undergoing what it does. It's because it's a welcoming city, because it's a neglected city of people from all over. And Bridgeport, in many ways, much smaller, of course, but we're like that as well. We have so many people that we've welcomed into this city from all over. So that's one thing. The fact that we live close together, that we're a densely populated community, we're close together, is likely to impact us. So we need to take precautions on that, and we will, in conjunction with where we are, with advice from experts. And I understand, if I didn't say it earlier, I understand the president's frustration about wanting to get the government going again or getting business going again. We share that. We share that with the president. But we also share the fact that where we're located, we need to focus on this healthcare crisis as we're so close to New York and how it might impact us here in Fairfield County and throughout Connecticut and specifically in Bridgeport. And that will continue to remain our top priority. If they decide in places that are rural and that they don't have any impact by it, that they can go on with business as usual, that's fine. Could you back up one slide? So you need to know as well that in addition to dealing with this, we haven't stopped with the other things that we need to do as local city government. We met virtually with members of the administration, the finance department, the Office of Policy Management, have dialogue with the city council about committing to our budget season on time. I know there's been relaxation in the time frames by the governor of the state of Connecticut. We feel our best efforts should be put forth immediately, that we should stay with the time frame that's outlined. While the cases remain low and we're diligent in Bridgeport, we want to move forward with our budget process as best we can, and the city council is committed to that. I say this repeatedly. They understand as elected officials, they have an obligation, they want to do it. If we have to do it remotely by Zoom or one of these, we'll do it. And we'll get our budget done on time. We'll balance the budget with the same commitments and priorities that we've retained in my discussions from months ago and over the last 4 years. Holding the line and looking for reductions in property taxes in the city of Bridgeport. Increased commitment with our partnership for education for funding in ways that will be meaningful for the Board of Education to continue their commitment, whether it's remotely or whether it's within the classroom, as we hope soon, but maybe not till September, so that we have, although we're underfunded, I think in ways that are inappropriate by other levels of government, that we'll do all that we can in partnership from the city side with the leadership in the city council and the administration with the superintendent to secure up as best we can every element to provide the best opportunity for public education in the city of Bridgeport. Now, in addition to the budget, we're not asleep at the switch. We're following the protocols, safe protocols, and we're trying to get things done. So if you get a chance within the new social dorms, if you're driving around the city, you go downtown, you're going to see finally, and the action has been slow, but this is the post office, the United States Post Office downtown. It's a beautiful 1960 Art Deco building. We've cleared the way with dilapidated buildings from in front of it. And I think it's going to provide, as the amphitheater and the ballpark and the arena and some of the amenities on the south end of downtown Main Street are provided, what we call North Main Street, the corner where Golden Hill and Main Street exists right now. You're going to start to see the type of reclaiming and urban redevelopment that you want to see in our downtown, as we should, as Connecticut's largest city. We haven't forgotten about some of the historic stuff, the old Davidson building. We're going to repaint the historic nature of that being a slipcover and draperies building, while all around it, we'll see new structures go up and the ones that are a part of Bridgeport's historic past that can be retained, like this building, will be retained with just a touch of the history that some of our parents and grandparents remember. You know, I've prided myself as best we can. I'm beautifying the city. Now that spring has kind of opened up, we'll have more tulips, flowers, and beautification projects, I think, than any city in Connecticut. They're starting to come up now. Feel a little better about yourselves as we go through this. We're not asleep at the switch. There's the flowers and the blossoms with the American flag on the entrance to Stratford Avenue, with more things to come. I've talked to our people about even lining up within the safety precautions, infrastructure improvements. We want to get back to sidewalks. We want to get to road paving, which we will. We want to get streetscapes going and a variety of other projects that we'll keep you updated on as we look to support our businesses, hopefully with the support of the federal government that happens today, make sure that flows through state and local, if it does, or directly to businesses, support residents financially through the federal government, assuming that comes through. But let's keep our health as a top priority. These are the hashtags and the symbols for staying in touch with us. I'll stay in touch with you. I'm going to wrap it up, but if there's questions,
save them for our listeners on WICC.
And let you know, tomorrow I've asked WICC, if they'll give us an extended period for Q&A, for questions and answers, so you can ask your questions there. I know we got a lot of pop-offs from Black Rock about the park. Here's the deal. We're on top of it. We want to limit social interactions respectfully with social distancing in all our parks. The efforts we've given into Black Rock, which we will do, and you know I'm in love with Black Rock, has been extraordinary. It's 10% of the city, and right now it's making 90% of the noise. We're working with you. But while we're putting resources to put up barriers and signs in Black Rock, we had a fatality in another part of the city. So all of our neighborhoods will get the respect and the support of all of our elected officials. And I think they're doing a phenomenal job. But we need to work together. We want people to respect the parks, or I'll close them completely. I'll close them completely if we have to. We will treat health as a top priority. But we also will treat health as a top priority in every part of this city to every one of our residents and our businesses. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm getting a little pointer from my staff. What do you want me to do? Okay. Yeah, for the benefit of ICC, thank you so much. So our Twitter and Facebook is at Joe Ganim. Facebook is at Bridgeport CT. Again, that's our Twitter, at City of Bridgeport. So you got at City of Bridgeport CT. You've got at Bridgeport CT on Facebook, and you've got what we're broadcasting on to you now live, and thank ICC as well. But it's at Joe Ganim on Facebook. Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you. Hashtag, as we say it again, with all the challenges out there, in this together. Thank you, and God bless.